Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quick question, Sinead. Mm-hmm. Do you think you'll be friends with all your variants?
Oh, good question. No.
Why not?
Oh, I think they'd annoy me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think I'd be friends with my variants. We'd probably all be. I'm thinking the ones who are similar to me. Not the evil ones, clearly, but.
It's because you're like chill and laid back. So you'd be like, oh, we'll just have a nice chat.
Yeah. And what, like, one variant, he wears a hat. That's his variant, you know, but we're still pretty much the same guy. Are your ones are going to like team up against each other and try and find who's the best or something?
I mean, maybe. Or am just, I like that though?
No, maybe just to, like, you'd want to make sure you give a good impression to yourself repeatedly. Yeah. Well, hello there. This is I Only Like You and Movies and Marvel TV shows, apparently. My name is Lonnie. I'm here with Sinead. We are again. Oh, hello. So I'll give you a chance to talk.
Hi.
So we're recording again via Zoom. So hopefully it sounds okay. How are things up there on the International Space Station this week, Sinead?
They're doing okay.
That's good. So are you up there by yourself or do you have variants? Do you come down and see other variants at all or is it mainly just you up there hanging out?
It's mainly just me. But, okay. Like, I'd welcome the company if I had other variants. Oh, that'd be fun.
That'd be cool.
We'll just hang out together, you know.
As long as not evil ones, you know. So
no.
Okay, we're talking about variants because we watched Loki fairly recently. It's a Marvel TV show based on the character of Loki. Everyone's favourite, apparently.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling Sinead has questions. And so I've done some research and hopefully I can answer them all or at least give you some guidance, and eh?
Yeah.
That's pretty much how these Marvel ones work out, don't they? You just pepper me with questions, and that's okay.
I have lots of questions, but my main one is, what happened?
Hey, we'll get there. So everyone knows Loki. He's been one of the main villains of the Marvel Universe. He died, though, but now he's back because people liked him so much. It's one of these Marvel TV shows, they branched out recently. Although everyone talks about these Marvel shows are like new to Disney Plus and whatever, that's true. We had a whole bunch of Marvel TV shows before these guys, but now these ones are good, I guess. Is that the difference?
No. That all happened in a vacuum and we never mentioned them ever again.
Okay, all right. What about Daredevil? That was good.
Yeah, first season of Jessica Jones, incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. First season. Only.
First and only. So, yes, but these ones do have the more the official stamp because they have the actual stars from Marvel movies. Tom Hiddleston, you've had some things to say about Tom Hiddleston in the past, Sinead. What are you? You're not. You're a bit.
I just
thinking he doesn't have much range. Is that the idea? Or
no, I've never said that. He has been very open about not wanting to play Loki forever in interviews and stuff,
yeah.
And seemed really disenfranchised with the whole thing. And then it's just weird to see him pop back up and lead a TV show. That's all.
Yeah, fair enough. And do you think he like sort of he quit Marvel or finished his Marvel run, looked around, couldn't find anything else? It's like, hey, Marvel, what are you guys up to?
Well, look, he'd get paid a crap load of money to do this.
Yeah, we watched WandaVision, liked it for the most part, didn't we, Snow?
Yeah.
I watched Falcon Winter Soldier. It's fine. Don't bother, though, probably, if you're not that interested in this universe. But Loki, I think it's the best one so far, if we have to compare them. I liked it a lot. I watched it week to week, though, and I don't think that was the ideal way to watch it. Sinead, you watched it sort of binging. How do you think? Was it good in that sense?
Why do you think it was not ideal splitting them up?
Well, I just think that some of the twists and turns and stuff I think would have maybe appreciated if I was watching like two or three at a time rather than watching one week and then sort of half forgetting it and then waiting to watch it the next week That's just my opinion. I'm not really sure if it makes any sense, but I'm just like, maybe this would have been better if I'd binged it all, you know, in an afternoon or a weekend rather than over 6 weeks. But I'll never know.
So. I mean, it didn't make sense to me binging it, so, you know.
Okay. Well, what's your understanding of the show Loki? If someone hasn't seen it, what would you say it's all about?
God. So it's set just after the first Avengers, which was... Also, we're going to have huge spoilers for the whole MCU, so if you don't want to hear them, don't listen.
Yeah.
So set in the past in the Avengers original movie, but the one where they went back in time and changed stuff, and he had the Tesseract. And then apparently him having the Tesseract violated some sort of time law convention thing. So he gets arrested by these, like, time police and taken to this place. And then it turns out that there's this guy who's in charge of time.
Skipping right to the end, yes, that's it, basically.
Well, that's the best I can do because, like, I'm so confused.
Okay. Fair enough. Loki's there, Tom Hiddleston. I'm going to say my first thing today just so because it kind of informs everything else.
Okay.
I quite like the show. I like the timey-wimey stuff. It's kind of fun. It's setting up lots of interesting ideas for the next round of Marvel movies. So that's cool, I guess. Like, at least they all sort of interacting and, you know, it's the whole universe. I kind of feel like they fundamentally changed Loki as a character. And I'm not sure I like that.
Interesting. Was it the humor?
Well, yes. But Loki before this in other films, he's a bastard. He's the main villain of the first one, the first Avengers, as he said. He kills people for fun. He wants to take over the world. He's like, he goes to Germany and there's all these allegories for him and Hitler and so on. And in this one, he is kind of like just a fun time lord almost. Like, he's a cute boy. He wants to do best. He falls in love. Like, I'm all for character development and I love, you know, taking a bad guy and making him good and vice versa. That's all great. I'm not saying that's bad. But it kind of feels to me like this is almost the Tumblr version of Loki that everyone's liked. All the people have written fan fiction about Loki actually secretly has all these feelings. And he does. Like, I understand he does. He's a bit more complex than the average villain. But I'm just not sure I was keen on, like, when I thought of a Loki show, I'm like, okay, so we've got a villain as the hero in this scenario. We're going to do evil stuff. We're going to be there. It's going to be like, not like a Breaking Bad, but like one of those dramas about a bad guy. No, he's just a good guy, basically, by the end of it, even though he's the one who's the voice of reason at the end trying to save the universe.
Yeah.
Like, is it Loki?
Really? All right. I have thoughts on this. Okay. So the humor thing to me worked in this because Loki was always sort of snarky and a bit sort of quick-witted, right? So that sort of Thor Ragnarok-esque humor I think actually worked in this because I think Loki was a more suitable character to be talking like that than Thor was, for example.
Yep, sure.
However, I agree with you. I think there's this problem, well, two things. I think people get excited when it's like, oh, the protagonist is bad because they're complex. They're only complex if you show them doing bad things. If you have a bad guy as your protagonist and all they do are good things, then they're a good guy. So it's actually not that interesting to have a bad guy as the protagonist, right?
Can I jump in there? Sorry, just quickly.
Oh, go for it.
People always talk about this, well, not so much these days, but they talk about how Wolverine is an anti-hero. And, like, I thought about that watching the films, the X-Men movies. I'm like, he does everything heroic. He doesn't do one thing that's anti-heroic apart from be a bit of a dick.
Are they saying that because he didn't want to join them in the beginning and he was sort of reticent to become?
I guess so.
It's coming from?
But I'm with you, right? Anti-hero is someone who often does bad things for the sake of good, right? Mm-hmm. So if and you know, I guess he kills Jean Grey in one of those movies and that's kind of, but he's sacrificing her because she's evil and whatever. But this idea that your anti-hero is someone who's like, does good things all the time, 100% of the time, he does the right thing, but he has an attitude. That doesn't really speak anti-hero to me. That just is like some guy who's a hero who's a bit of a dick sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. This guy, idea of Loki being a villain in this film and in this series, at least, not really. Hey,
not anymore. Really. It doesn't do anything villainous. I think also there's an issue because I think you see this a lot with the Disney live actions in that they like taking sort of a two-dimensional villain who is bad for the sake of being bad, and digging into their backstory and figuring out why they're bad. And I don't think this always works, because the original character is literally just set up to be in opposition to the heroes, right? And so I don't think there seems to be a trend in art forms these days of wanting complex villains who do things for good reasons or interesting reasons, and it's not enough. This is sort of, I guess, what it's pitched as. It's not enough just to have a guy be bad because he's bad. But in these, really, I don't know whether it's because it derives from comic books, or it's the Disney films are marketed towards children. We don't always need a complex villain, I don't think. I think it's enough sometimes to have someone, like, yeah, their reasons have to be grounded in reality of why they're doing the thing that they're doing. But in terms of, like, I don't know, why can't we just have someone who's bad? Why do they all have to be redeemable?
Yeah, that's totally true. People have really taken on that idea of every villain's a hero in his own story.
Yes.
I saw a tweet about this once. He said people think that means, well, actually every villain has to have a point, has to be right.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. Sometimes people are just bad in the sake of being bad. And I guess, I mean, Thanos is pretty bad for the sake of being bad. He had his twisted logic, but he did it in the worst way possible. So that, I think he worked in that sense.
Yeah.
But you're right. And he had his family. I guess he had his daughter, but even then he was creepy to her and stuff. But I'm seeing what you're saying here for sure. It's like, would it have been fun, more fun, to have Loki be a bad guy in this series? I think it would have been fun. I think it would have been good.
Yeah.
Okay, so Loki is joined by Sylvie.
Yes.
Also Loki, apparently.
Yes.
Although some people don't think so, but I think she probably is. I don't know.
Probably what?
During the show, as it was being released week to week, apparently there's a character in the comics called Enchantress who shares some of the qualities that Sylvie seems to possess, like enchanting people, for example. And she was from Asgard or whatever. And so maybe there was some twist, like maybe she wasn't actually going to be a Loki variant. She was going to be actually someone else altogether. But we did see her be a kid, didn't we, on Asgard being taken away eventually in the series. So she obviously is the female Loki. But even then, she could have the elements of the Enchantress, I suppose, perhaps take on that mantle or something in the future. Mm-hmm. Did you like her as a character?
I didn't latch onto her the same way that the Twitterverse has latched onto her.
Fair enough.
Like, she was fine, sure. They're like, oh my God, she's such a badass. Like, I mean, is she though, or is she just a female character? I don't know.
I liked her. I thought she was fun, and she seemed to match Tom Hiddleston pretty well. I think she's had a fair career already, but hasn't had a huge breakout role like this before. So that was good, and she did the quiet moments well. But
I didn't buy their chemistry. And also, kissing yourself.
It felt a bit forced, didn't it? Are you saying you wouldn't kiss yourself when you meet all your variants?
No.
You wouldn't have a big kiss-a-thon?
No. It's weird.
Smoocheroony together.
It's gross.
Yeah.
I have so many thoughts and I have questions. Right. I'll start off with a positive thing.
Okay.
Owen Wilson.
Correct.
In a Marvel property.
Yeah.
Loved him.
Yeah. I was with you. I was a bit surprised about that choice when I heard about it. And even going into the first episode where he turns up, you're like, ooh, is this going to work, his whole vibe with Marvel?
Yes. It does. It really does. And the jet ski thing, I'm here for it. Even though he says Loki's name weird, he goes, Loki. Yeah. Loki.
That's low. Yeah, like really does that low. Just
low.
Really,
yeah.
Really enunciates that. I agree. I think the thing I thought about his vibe not gelling potentially with the Marvel Universe, maybe in this series in particular, it works really well. Little timey-wimey stuff, maybe not so much on the movies, but probably. But his sort of his laid-back attitude, not taking things so seriously, a little bit detached from, taking things seriously, it worked really well. He seemed like he was having fun with it all, and he could tell he was there doing a Marvel show, but in a fun way, you know, not...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Getting out there, like just... I think it was a nice presence to have in this
movie. He and Tom Hiddleston had really great chemistry together. I think they played really well off each other, and I was really that's what kept me engaged with this show, I think.
Are you saying they should have kissed?
No, I'm saying that there was they worked really well together.
Yeah, I agree. And I you know me, Sinead, I probably wouldn't have minded more of them just doing Case of the Week sort of stuff.
Okay, so I don't know how to say this without sounding pretentious. Okay, so I'm just going to say it.
Well, don't say it in French then. God.
In.
Do you know who speaks French?
Who speaks French, Lonnie?
No one. No one does.
Okay, good.
No one has ever spoken French before.
So in my writing workshop class at RMIT this semester,
mm-hmm.
we were talking a lot about perspective and point of view,
mm.
whether you write a story from the third person, first person, whatever. And we found that often the first draft of writing out a story mm-hmm. is actually you just telling yourself the story, like figuring it out sort of in your head. And then the aim is to look at what you've written and then go, oh, that doesn't work, that doesn't work. Oh, but this bit here, that's a really good nugget. And that's actually what I need to be focusing on in this story. That's what I should be writing about, not all this other stuff over here. I feel like they missed that step in this show because for me, the good bit here was the sort of case of the week, TVA, Loki's here to help us find different variants. Mm. That was the most interesting thing about the show, right?
Oh, that would have been good. And every week they find one. This week he's a cowboy, Loki, and this week he's
That's what I thought we were doing. Yeah, that's honestly what I thought we were doing in the beginning. Then it made me feel like I missed an episode between episode one and two because he never got – it's like, oh, Loki's here to help us find variants. It's like, sorry. When was that ever established?
Mm.
You just skipped to that because it was convenient for you. But then, like, we only just find out about the TVA before we're told that they're bad.
Mm.
We don't even get to sit in there at all. And having, like, episode of the week sort of stuff, you could sit within the TVA. That was great. That sort of, like, stylistic mm-hmm. sort of stuff was so interesting. That's what compelled me to keep watching because I wanted more of that. I didn't care that they were on this, like, no-nonsense void trying to fight a dust cloud. Like, who cares? The interesting stuff was having Loki be almost a police informant, essentially, to help them find other variants. It would suit his personality because he thinks he's the best variant, so he wants to get rid of all the others. So there's his motivation, done. That's the interesting bit. Why didn't you give me that?
I think that's a great concept for a show you've given us there, Sinead, and it's a shame they didn't do that. You're right. So from episode one to the end of episode two, you have that sort of element being set up. But mm-hmm. then they launch straight into chasing after Sylvie, the female Loki, who's doing all the bad stuff.
Exactly. Have her come at the end of the season and all of a sudden he's met his match and he can't, you know, out-clever her. She's the one variant that he can't out-clever or something.
Yeah.
You know, which sets you up for a great season two. I just feel like this was such a missed opportunity to do more of that stuff, which was different and interesting in the same way that the WandaVision sort of TV show stuff was different and interesting.
Yeah, because I loved all that sort of retro future elements it's so like
cool.
We are running the agency, we're outside of time and space, but we organize time and space. We're a bureaucracy, we're in charge of it all, and we have all this unlimited power, magic basically. But also we spend our time filling out forms and having meetings in an office room. Like that was kind of, interesting way for that door to be set up and explored. So are you saying maybe that when it became an adventure, you didn't like it as much? Is that potentially what's happened here?
Different adventures within the episodes are fine. I'm saying.
Yeah, they gave themselves over to the overwhelming adventure because we have to set up things for the other Marvel movies.
Yes.
Very much, so quickly. People I was following along, you know, all the commentary when it was all being released. What do you think of the episode where they're stuck on the planet and they go on the train and then they almost get killed at the end? People like, this is like Doctor Who light.
It was a bit, actually. Yeah. It reminded me a little bit of it. Yeah. I didn't like that episode to me because it felt like a divergent from what we were doing. It's like, oh, we're hiding in apocalypses, but we're only really going to show you one.
Yeah.
We're only going to spend time with one.
Yeah, I think maybe I've just realized that's helped me realize something. So thank you. When I said that, like, watching it week to week was a bit stranger, I think because that episode especially felt like they're spinning wheels because they mm-hmm. have 6 weeks to fill.
Yeah.
But if you're watching and binging it, you could just like, you watch that one alongside another episode and it's still moving forward. But that one kind of felt like, yeah, this is one we'll just chat and quote unquote fall in love with ourselves, you know, so. Mm. Yeah, I think you really hit the nail on the head there, Sinead. And so good. And they have to go because they've got time, all of time and space to go. This mm-hmm. week, Loki's in medieval Europe or something. That would have been fun.
Trying to hunt for the variant. Like,
yeah.
Is that it? I just thought that's what we were doing. And then when we weren't, I was like, why are we doing this other weird thing?
Yeah, and you're right. They've set up the TVA, which we all kind of suspected was dodgy from the get-go. And then it's like, oh, yeah, they are dodgy.
But exactly, like immediately, let us sit in that for a bit. Let us put two and two together. Let us find different things. Let Tom Hiddleston's Loki be a bit confused why things are just not quite right. And then maybe he investigates why and then, you know.
That's so true. Like you like the chemistry between the two, with Hiddleston and Loki, as their names are. But it would have been nice maybe for that to be established. Like from in this series, Hiddleston likes him from the get-go.
Yeah.
Maybe if they had an episode or two together, going on adventures together, and then they start to appreciate each other. And maybe Owen Wilson realizes maybe there's something different, but this Loki, he's not quite as bad as I thought he would be. And then Loki himself is like, I can't believe I'm making a friend. I've never made a friend before. Yeah.
And Loki's proving himself as well. You know.
That'll happen, but it kind of was a bit of slapdash with being told now Loki's got friends.
I
agree. Go on.
I'm just going to say it quickly because it's my complaint. Well, it's my complaint with Black Widow as well. Mm-hmm. This show is 10 years too late, really outdated. Do people really care about Loki now that we've had 17 other villains since Loki who are bigger and badder than he is? Yes, I think they do because there's a weird, like, Tumblr relationship with Loki, which I agree. But I think this type of show would have been much better received back in the day when we were hot off Loki being the big bad and wanted more of him. Yeah. It's over. He died, okay? It's done. Well, it is over. Well, it is.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, is this what we're doing? We're going to go back in time and give Gamora her own TV show and then, like, just move on.
It is funny because there has been a long-standing love and appreciation of Loki, and because I think Tom Hiddleston seems like a nice guy, people keep all that going. But if in 10 years' time we have a sequel series on Thanos, people will be like, wasn't that over? Like, we had him. That was him 10 years ago. I totally agree. Loki's a different kettle of fish because of all that, the Tom Hiddleston of it all, and the fact that he dated Taylor Swift and all that. Like, we can't divorce Loki, the character from Tom Hiddleston.
No way. Yeah, that was surely all a PR stunt. But anyway.
Well, they wore T-shirts of each other's names. So pretty serious, if you ask me. I'm with you. It does feel a bit late. And you're right. If this was made after Avengers, where didn't he do like 10 times the damage of 9/11 in New York?
Yeah.
Like, he's a bad person.
And then it's like, oh, no, he doesn't like killing people. He just does it.
Well, and to prove himself to his
dad. Wow, that's a better reason, definitely. Yeah. Good job, guys.
And now and it's not quite the same, right? Because he was always like this, but it's like in 2012, he's the new Hitler. In 2021, he's like on Tumblr and people are writing about fan fiction about him, much I love him, and he's getting fan edits with him and Sylvie on YouTube of them with soppy music over him. Like, it's not quite the same because he's always had that sort of weird element to him as a character, but elements of that certainly exist. Oh, yeah, one thing I'll talk about, so we should be getting to some of the plot questions you might have, but the whole idea at the beginning of this show is that things can happen, you can play with time, but as long as it was meant to happen, it's okay. But as soon as something happens that isn't meant to happen, the TVA turn up and prune you, right? So that's the idea, right? That makes sense in early episodes.
Mm-hmm.
As was pointed out in the pitch meeting video for this, which is what I think is film criticism, is YouTube videos. But the idea that Loki got captured here because he picked up the time stone, right? And then all the whatever, the Tesseract. And that wasn't meant to happen because of whatever reason, right? Because of those who deemed these things deemed that was meant to happen in this timeline. But the Avengers running around causing trouble all the time was okay because that was meant to happen, right?
Yeah.
Here's my point, and the point that they made in pitch meeting. Some of the things that the Avengers did was based on Loki picking up the Tesseract when he wasn't supposed to. Remember this?
Because I get where you're going with this.
So if that wasn't meant to happen, surely the stuff the Avengers did afterwards wasn't meant to happen either. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I know what you mean.
Well, it doesn't make sense, does it, really?
I get it.
You get the point. And, like, it doesn't matter. You move on. It doesn't matter. But, like, also it does matter because that does make sense.
So I've gone as long as I can without asking poor questions.
Okay, go on.
Okay, so Loki picks up the Tesseract at the end of Avengers 1.
Yes.
But he didn't do that in the original version. He didn't pick up the Tesseract?
I think...
Didn't they need to go back and make sure that he picked it up?
No, what they were going to do was going to steal that because they need to get all of the
stones
in the future.
Yeah.
So the idea was we could steal the stone from 2012 from when the Avengers came out, as long as then we went and put it back and so it was never, like it was never gone. But in the middle of all that, Loki stole one of them. And so they had to go back even further.
No, hang on.
Okay.
So we see it. We see Ant-Man kicking the case over to him.
Mm.
So he wasn't supposed to be kicking the case to Loki?
I think it's like there's a main universe where that never happened. They never went back in time, right? And then they had to go back in time later. And that was okay because as long as they put it back, that timeline was going to reset itself. I think like it never happened, them going back, basically.
But then they didn't do it properly because obviously they did go back because that's the impetus for this whole movie.
Yeah. I think all that stuff doesn't quite make sense until you get to the very end, and spoilers for the end of Loki, where Kang is there and he has been manufacturing everything in Loki's life over the last little bit at least to bring him to the Citadel with Loki and Sylvie, and Kang offers him the chance to be the ruler of time. So I think pretty much everything that doesn't make sense, you can maybe hand wave with being like, oh, that's okay. Kang was okay with it, so it's all right.
Well, I'm not okay with it.
Okay.
Does that count for nothing? Oh, Kang's okay with it. Great. What about me? I need some more information.
What I mean is you think Kang is the person who is in charge of whether things happen or not. He's the one who decides if the thing is meant to happen or not.
This just feels so cheap though, doesn't it? It's just one guy's discretion of whether or not things happen.
Mm.
So all of our logic and, like, planning all this stuff out and trying to remember where they went back in time and stuff, that was all for nothing. Because you can tell me that, oh, good job for paying attention to all that stuff. We're not going to use it at all. We're just going to say, oh, it's this guy who decided. Like, what a deus ex machina.
Mm. Well, potentially. But I think all that stuff matters in that movie, though, in Avengers Endgame, where they go back in time and everything. I think... they wanted Loki to have his own TV show, but they'd already killed him. And so they had to think up some way for this to happen.
Yes, that's very clear. I'm just saying logically it doesn't make sense.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh.
Well, but I think if the Avengers were meant to do all that stuff, that's okay because it aligns with the timeline that Kang created. But Loki being pulled out of the timeline.
all the things the good people do was meant to happen and all the things the bad people do wasn't.
Well,
wouldn't it have been more interesting if one of the bad things had to happen and it was like the heroes wrestling with that? Like Loki has to blow up an entire planet. All those people are going to die. But in order for the greater good, utilitarian sort of ethics, he has to do that. Isn't that more interesting?
Well, that's the thing. That's that episode of Doctor Who where he's at Pompeii and Donna's trying to get him
to let it happen.
Yeah, which they kind of reference that almost in this series, aren't they? Pompeii.
Yeah.
But yeah, and she's like, "Why do you decide what happens or what doesn't happen?" And that is kind of a similar theme here going on. Who gets to decide what is? If you have time travel, well, that opens up a whole can of worms, which.
Yeah, okay.
Kang has been trying to control, it seems.
So let's talk about Kang then, because we've already mentioned him.
Only if you say Kang's name the way you say Gang when you see more than two children outside.
Kang, Kang alert. Is that what you're after?
So that's what Sinead says if she sees a few children out and about.
It's not a few children. It's if they're youths who are walking down the street together and you know they're in a gang and you yell out Gang. Not to them, obviously. You say it with whoever you're with.
You don't want to scare them away. Scare them. Yeah, exactly. Because they'll catch you. The Crips probably. Or the...
Okay, so
go on.
That episode was the longest one I've ever watched in my entire life. Why was it just him talking in a room? It was so boring. Okay, so he knows everything that's ever going to happen ever.
Yeah, I guess so, hey.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I suppose. Because...
up to a certain point... when they what wait what was the point that made him start
up until
to
the
know?
Point where they can decide whether to kill him or to take over from him? As
convenient that he didn't know, but sure.
Well, I thought that was his choice, though. He was like, I'm bored of this, I've been doing this for millennia upon a millennia. So
really, I thought he just couldn't see it, and then I was confused why he wasn't having a complete mental breakdown.
Can't remember. Okay. I thought it was him choosing. He was like, I've had enough of being the one good Kang who keeps everything in order. So I'm going to give you guys the chance to be in charge, or you can kill me and the universe, all the timelines will blow up and, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Okay.
Again, so, why are they doing it? Unclear. Go on.
So they're trying to decide whether or not to kill him.
Yeah.
Loki says we can't kill him because then a million Kangs will appear. And we have to fight them.
Gang.
Lady Loki says, nah, we're going to kill him because he's behind all the TVA stuff and he hurt me as a child. And then she trick kisses Loki, sends him back in a portal.
Yep.
And then she seemingly kills Kang.
Yeah, she killed him.
And then... but Owen Wilson doesn't know who Loki is anymore because we're in an alternate universe now.
Yes. So I think Sylvie's idea there was, well, why does one guy get to be in charge of all time and space, or all timelines at least, and he's done such trauma to me, I'm going to kill him and then come what may. Even though it's going to probably cause even more trauma for everyone in the whole
galaxy. I feel like you didn't plan that one out, Sylvie, but sure.
No, yeah, exactly.
So... the ending then. Was the statue of Kang always there? And he just noticed it now?
No, it wasn't there previously, but supposedly we're in a society or at a timeline, or like he's been put back in a timeline where Kang is a ruler. Because in this universe, he invented the timekeepers as the people who were in charge, and he was hiding in the shadows, kind of invisibly guiding things. But in that universe, or maybe... time has changed. Loki is the only one who can remember. Kang is like a ruler of time, I suppose, is the idea. He's actually Kang the Conqueror, as he's sometimes called.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, more questions for you.
Yeah.
Why do the Lokis need to run at all? They can phase in behind each other without running. Why are they running?
It's true. Ever? It's true. Loki does have magical powers for whatever he needs in that moment. Sometimes forgets them.
But they can teleport. Why are they running and dodging out of the way of rubble and stuff when the planet's collapsing, when they can just literally, like, teleport to the next place?
It's true.
why did Sylvie and the lady who was the head of the soldiers need to have their conversation in the rain?
Yeah.
There's a building right there. Can we just go into the building and talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need to be rained on? Do you have an answer for me?
I don't know about that one. It's more dramatic in the rain, obviously. So,
okay.
She was cool, though.
She was cool. The enchantment stuff.
Mm.
I could have sworn that Loki could do that as well, that was one of his powers.
I think. Because,
do you remember in Asgard where he's pretending to be Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah.
Where they have the Matt Damon-like little cameo bit? Isn't the whole thing that he's enchanting them?
Yeah, and he's presenting as his dad rather than Anthony Hopkins rather than him. That. Yeah, I don't think he can control his minds, though, without a scepter.
But he's touched people on the head before and made them think of things.
Yeah, I think that was just with the scepter, though. I don't know if he could do it just with his fingers.
No. Okay, Thor Ragnarok, where they're in the prison.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He goes into Thor's mind, doesn't he? Because he's bored. Because he's locked in the prison cage and he's bored, and so he messes with people's minds for fun.
Yeah. Oh,
he doesn't have a scepter on him then.
Well, maybe he can do that stuff, but he didn't ever explore his powers as much as Sylvie has.
Oh, God. What a weak, like, thing.
I'm just saying maybe that's an idea. She unlocks his powers, though, because they work together and they control the big dust monster.
No. Richard E. Grant. Richard E. Grant.
He's the happiest man ever to be in a film.
I love him so much. Oh, my God. When he appeared, I missed that post-credit scene. This is mean, okay? I watched the first two episodes all the way to the end of the credits to check that there wasn't a scene, and there wasn't. And then all of a sudden they throw a random post-credits in, like, episode 3 when I didn't check, the one time I didn't check.
They should tell us, shouldn't they?
Like, we all know by this point that they're going to be there. Can you just let us know if there's not, like, be easier? Anyway. Oh, Richard. He's so great. I'm not sure I liked the void stuff. Because it was like, oh, he's dead. It's like, he's not dead. There's a void.
Mm.
Where everyone goes who dies? Why isn't it fuller? Why is it just full of Lokis? Yeah. Then I was like, is it a void specific to Lokis? Well, no, because Owen Wilson got there.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was just going to be Loki void. That would have been interesting. Like, it's heaven almost for Lokis or whatever, limbo or whatever.
Yeah.
But everyone's there? Yeah, it didn't make sense to me.
But then not everyone, because the sailors on the ship just died. They died in the void.
Mm.
How do you die in the void? This doesn't make sense.
And also, like, if you've got Loki there who's so much trouble, just, like, shoot him in the head. Like, honestly, don't put him somewhere where he can potentially use his magic to come back.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Like, keep him in the time prison.
Yeah, when he's getting punched repeatedly or kicked in the nuts repeatedly. Or literally just drop his head off. Like, you're evil. You can do that if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But no, but you're Disney Plus, I suppose, so you can't. I liked all the other Lokis. I liked the alligator Loki. That was fun.
Why was there an alligator Loki?
Because it was fun today.
Why?
Did you see Throg?
Why were there no other animals?
There was. Throg was stuck there.
Who's Throg?
Have a think about it. What do you think Throg is?
Oh, is it a Thor frog?
It is.
Sorry.
He's got a little tiny immune hair.
Excuse me. There's a Thor frog.
Named Throg, yes.
Why are we all acting like this is normal? What is happening? Am I going insane? There is a frog who is Thor.
Yeah.
How does he hold the hammer?
Your little hand.
When what? I totally missed this. Is he an actual character?
No, when they're on the planet, I think when they're actually in the bunker with all the other Lokis, and the pans, like, comes down.
I saw the big Mjolnir here in the soil.
Yeah, I think there's a Throg stuck in a jar. A Throg in a jug. Yeah.
Right.
And he's flying around. You can't get out.
Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
Okay. The point where we have several different Loki seems like a good point to raise the acting in the film. Okay. Very B grade. Some of the worst acting I've ever seen.
Like, from who?
Everybody. The other the other Lokis, terrible.
Hmm.
Lady Loki, didn't really get her, except she was being like, oh, I'm a sexy villain. Tom Hiddleston, there is a point at the void Do you know how in old sitcoms, like the ones in WandaVision,
yeah.
when something goes wrong and then it's like, oh, Wanda, and then the music goes do-do-do-do-do-do and, like, zooms, like that kind of thing? Do you know yeah. exactly what I mean?
I know what you mean, yeah.
Please
yeah.
know exactly what I mean. Okay.
Yeah.
Tom Hiddleston, in the episode where they're on the void, and I'm pretty sure it's when Sylvie comes back, it's a mid-shot of him, and he goes, oh, boy, and puts his hands, like, on his hips and puts his head to the side and shakes his head in the most obvious thing. He doesn't even want to be there. Why are we making this show when he very clearly does not want to even be in it? It's the worst piece of acting I've ever seen. It's the worst direction. It's horrible. I'm going to turn the camera on Zoom so I can reenact it for you.
Okay.
Hello. Hi. Can you see me?
I can see you.
He goes like, oh, doo-doo-doo. Like that, like so obviously with the hands.
Yeah.
Why? Why did he do that? Tell me. Answer my question.
I don't know. I wish the listeners could have seen you just then today.
Why was the acting so bad?
Oh, I'm not sure I agree with you there, but it's a good question.
Excuse me. You saw that scene. You saw that acting choice.
I saw you do it just now.
You didn't see it in the show?
I don't remember it. I watched it a few years ago. I'll have to rewatch it.
It's just like the whole thing felt very B grade.
Mm.
Like we're just running in front of a green screen. Really? That felt very Doctor Who. The bad CGI robots that are like Daleks who are the Time Lords. Oh, we are the Time Lords. And they're in little costumes and they look like 80s sci-fi villains where they like actually did practical effects.
Mm.
But, it was so bad. It was really bad.
One acting choices, the acting choices I might comment on, Mr. Kang at the end,
mm-hmm.
where he has his whole monologue for like half the episode, monologuing again.
Yep.
People are like, oh, wow, he's so unpredictable and whatever. Did you think he was just kind of like saying something's big and then coming down and being a little bit like this and then going a little bit crazy over here? Like,
yes.
It just didn't feel like he was, like he's playing a madman just by doing funny voices and unpredictable stuff rather than having a consistent sort of approach to the characters.
Because that's the thing about villains in these films. They want them to be like, aha, you've made it to the end of the show. This is, we're really meta and like, I'm fun. I'm a fun villain and oh, you don't know what I'm going to do next.
One minute I'm sad. One minute I'm happy. One minute I'm cranky about and I'm going to laugh at you anyway and you're going to try and kill me but I'm going to like be better and wink at you. Yeah.
Cool. So it's like mental illness.
Well,
it's bipolar disorder or schizophrenia is what you're making your villains have. That's cool.
I feel like that works for Heath Ledger's Joker because that's his character.
Yes.
Doesn't work every other character, does it?
Exactly.
Doesn't work for Lex Luthor in
Batman Superman. From everything and they're like, we'll do that too. Like the humor thing that everyone's doing similar to Thor Ragnarok or the split personality thing that everyone's doing. Why? Why?
And think about, you know, Heath Ledger's Joker, obviously there is an unhinged element to him, but I think for a lot of that stuff, he's very calculating in his craziness. Like when he's going to the meeting of the guys and he puts the pencil through the guy's nose or whatever, he's acting there. He's putting on a character as the Joker, I think, to all the stunts he's doing. I don't think he's just crazy for the sake of being crazy, which some of these other villains since then have
Isn't
kind
that
of
the whole been. Point of the Joker is they like try to write him off of, oh, you're just a madman. And he's like, am I? And he reveals his really complex plan that.
Yeah. He's got a plan for everything.
That's the whole thing. Right. Like, I don't know. I was expecting higher quality for a Marvel TV show, to be honest. They probably made this with billions of dollars and you give me green screens and bad robots.
I don't mind the robots, but yeah, I see where you come from. I saw some criticism of that, the scene where they're running to try and get on the spaceship to escape the apocalypse there. And it's like, oh, it's one of these amazing long take scenes, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
But like, it just felt so manufactured in the sense of it's like, all right, run here, get this mark, look over there.
Adjust? And then it's like, look over your shoulder because we haven't seen your face for a bit. So just look behind you and then we're going to pan around to the front and then the explosion's going to go off perfectly when we stop the camera and then you're going to flinch and then you're going to run to the right. Like I could see all the mechanics of that. It was like awful.
And I didn't mind it, but I totally, when that I saw that criticism, I was like, oh yeah, that is quite fair comment. Also the other thing I don't like about that, like, it's obviously in a set, you know.
That's what I mean. It's like soundstage sort of stuff.
When True Detective did that, they were out on a real location and they had to jump the fence and they had like the running through buildings and stuff. Remember that scene? That was with Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, like a bit more effort rather than just being, you know, set where you control every element of this universe.
Just didn't ring true or believable. I never once felt like I was watching a show, really. I felt like, okay, Tom Hiddleston's playing a character and we'll just watch this, I guess.
One thing I did like, back onto some, you know, back on the nice part of the sandwich where we have good criticism. I really liked in the first episode, especially where he's watching the video of his exploits and how he's eventually going to die. And he's the villain, realizing that's his part in the story of life, is to be the villain
who
is defeated. I thought that was a really interesting idea, which I didn't really engage with ever again after that point. But this idea that he very much thinks he's the hero of his journey and all his setbacks are just, you know, eventually he's going to be on top of the mountain. But he watches over and over and over and he's like, oh, wow, my job is to get defeated and Thor's job is to defeat me and be impressive, and I'm the one who's supposed to be on the ground with blood in my mouth and be defeated every time.
It's that classic sort of narcissist realization where you realize, oh, the world doesn't revolve around you. You're actually not anything to do with the main story or anything.
I thought that was an interesting idea.
I wanted more of that.
Exactly. And then what is it, 5 episodes later, he's just like, I love you, Sylvie. Let's have babies together because we love each other, because we're friends.
Weak. It's just weak.
Yeah. It's not, I'm being silly there. It's not that bad, but it's, no, potentially it's that bad. Okay. Okay. We're going to talk about some of the implications for the wider Marvel Universe. This stuff is interesting to me on one level because it is like, you know, it's cool. There's something having one show can impact other movies, and that's kind of a cool way to look at, you know, transmedia franchises and storytelling on a wider scale. On the other hand, though, I've seen some people talk about the ending as, this was good because it sets up other stuff which I know is coming. I'm recognizing that Kang is this character, and then it's interesting because the multiverse will open up. Like, that's cool and exciting on one level, but also doesn't mean it's a good episode of TV just because things are happening like that. You know what I mean? Like,
similar to what you said about Space Jam, the new Space Jam. Isn't it just name recognition then?
A little bit, yeah.
I recognize this guy from this other thing that I like.
Yeah, and I recognize, like, oh, there's narrative implications. It's like, well, we know Spider-Man is coming back with all the other Spider-Mans from the previous movies, and this is probably going to be playing into that somehow. But, like, just because you're excited about that, I don't think that gives the whole movie or the whole TV show in this sense a free pass for anything. Just because it's cool in that sense doesn't mean it's cool in every other sense as a episode TV. I think I said to you after you watched it, it's like the whole second half of that final episode was just like, hey, come back next time because next season is going to be really, really cool. What about this season? What about ending this episode on a satisfying climax where the elements that you've set up previously get resolved and then hinted at the future? Like, no, nothing gets resolved. It's all about a trailer for the next upcoming Marvel shows, basically. Anyway, yeah, that said, Sinead, we do seem to think that multiverse stuff is happening because there's the Multiverse of Madness coming up, Doctor Strange, the Spider-Mans, as I've said, are all coming back, even though they won't say it yet, but they're all coming back, supposedly. WandaVision, you know, at the end of that where she hears her kids cry out, maybe that's because the multiverse is broken up and she's like going to get them from a different universe where they weren't figments of the imagination. Kang himself has already been cast, the same guy, and he's appearing in Ant-Man coming up, the whatever it's called, Quantumania or something.
Why is there another Ant-Man? Is there really another Ant-Man coming?
Yeah.
Why?
It's a good question.
What? They've had two chances and they stuffed up both of them to make a good film. Why are we giving them a third?
I don't know. Well, and Kang's the big bad guy in that film.
Oh,
which is weird to me because Ant-Man, you know, like, why isn't he doing Ant-Man stuff? Why is he fighting the next Thanos? But, you know, whatever. So I guess the idea of this was that we had one okay Kang, who was the one in this universe who was holding things together. And even if you agree that that's bad, that he was controlling all of time, like he was, at least he was holding things together, he's dead now. And so all the other evil Kangs can come. So theoretically, we might be fighting Kang all the time, because you kill one, there's only more to come around. What do you think about that as a story device coming up?
I mean, I don't know.
Don't care. you'll see really. When it happens. Yeah. Yeah, as I said, that's kind of cool to think about, but just because this whole show hinted at something else coming up, I don't think that really means anything at all. Yeah, anyway. Anyway, Sine, we haven't talked about Renslayer. What do you think of her?
Who?
Owen Wilson's boss.
Oh, yeah, she was all right.
Yeah, she was from Doctor Who originally as well.
I was a bit confused. Did she know? She seemed surprised that the timekeepers weren't timekeepers, right? But she had the pen. So how'd she get the pen if she didn't know that about the variance thing?
Well, supposedly she and Kang are sometimes boyfriend-girlfriend in comics, so it's hard to know whether she, like, and she might be in on it, but also maybe she had her mind wiped at one point, or maybe, but she did seem surprised, didn't she? And then they found the old version of her at the school, so like.
But then all the stuff with her and Sylvie was fake, though. She was being fake because she was waiting for the guards to come in. I don't know.
Again, Kang said this could happen, so that's why it happened.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Literally. What do you think, Itzane? I've lost you here a bit. I think you've petered out.
Yeah, I think I'm disengaging from Marvel.
Really?
I think everything I see now is pushing me further and further away from the franchise, because I feel like it ended so well with Endgame, and I'm just not really interested in revisiting all these things, because at the end of the day, they don't affect anything. We know the ending. And does that mean every film we get from now on is going to be prequels?
I don't know. I hope not. I hope we would look into wider elements of the universe, but who knows? We say this now, Sine, but will you come back for The Eternals, with directed by Chloe Zhang, later in the year?
I mean, because I like Chloe Zhang, yes. Because Kumail's in it, yes.
Yeah. Angelina.
I'll give it a go, but I don't have high hopes for it.
Shang-Chi looks pretty good too. With your mate from, is he from Kim's Convenience?
He is from Kim's Convenience.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I thought. Yeah, I'm with you. Maybe we should move forward rather than back.
Yeah.
Or end, and then maybe have like 5 years break and then come back with more Marvel stuff in the future. Potentially.
Go for it.
Okay.
What are you going to rate it?
Out of 5 stars. Bloody hell. I'm going to give it a good 3 stars. I'm with you. I really liked the first couple episodes, but then the adventure stuff sort of got in the way of what could have been a good show. And I really like your idea of them just individually, case by case, finding other Lokis.
I thought that's what we were doing.
That would have been good. It would have been so good.
I loved seeing all that setting stuff, because I'm writing a story at the moment for uni that it is in a retro-futuristic setting, and it's been really hard to explain to people what that looks like. So I'm glad I have Loki now to be like, that's sort of what I'm aiming for.
Cool.
Listen, I'm probably only 2.5. I just, there were some good bits. The stuff with the TVA was really good. Owen Wilson was really good, but the acting and the green screen and the sort of logic questions just don't all add up for me.
Fair enough.
And I thought I was being told a lot to care about these characters rather than actually showing me why I should care about them. I felt like I was being told that Sylvie was cool rather than actually being like, oh, she's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I wouldn't go as far as to say it's a fundamental betrayal of Loki's character, because I don't care enough to care about that. But it was just weird to me, being like, by the end of it, I'm like, oh, okay, Loki's our new heartthrob, is he? And he's not bad anymore.
Well, this is the thing. If you humanize every villain, then you don't have any villains. Yeah. And then your story is boring, full of people who are all doing the right thing.
Yeah. And he's not Loki. If he would have been a different Loki, maybe he'd been a good Loki from the beginning, and he's ended up in this universe. And he's like, oh, my God, I thought I was good because I'm a good guy, but every other Loki in the world is bad. Maybe that could have been an interesting story. Yeah. Anyway, we think we've covered it. You get what we mean, don't you, everybody? Okay. Well, that's been Loki. Sinead and I, we're on Twitter. We're on I Like You Pod, I believe we are on Twitter. Get in touch with us, please. Rating, review, tell a friend. Anything else I should do, Sinead?
Explain to me some of the questions I had.
Okay. Maybe. If you want to get in touch with Sinead and explain Loki to her, that'd be great. Well, thank you very much for listening. We always appreciate when our listeners listen. We'll see you next time.
Oh, that's it.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
What's wrong? Did I not mention someone by name that you're wondering?
No. Bye, everyone.
She's the one who speaks French. I mentioned before. I didn't say the name. Emily Paris, there we go.
Oh, God. Okay.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.